This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, September 14th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We'll get to the Bears and their loss to the Packers in Green Bay, but first we're going to go to the division races and wild card races in Major League Baseball. It's that time of year, less than 20 games left for everybody. Lots going on, of course, because there are two wild cards this year, even more teams involved. The biggest game yesterday, certainly in the American League, Tampa Bay trying to avoid a sweep in Baltimore, but they were unable to do it. The Orioles, just unbelievable in extra inning games, beat the Rays 3-2 in 14 innings. Baltimore has now won 13 straight extra inning games. That's only happened like twice before in the history of baseball. So the Orioles, Buck Showalter, manager of the year, I think easily they get a 2-RBI double from Taylor Teagarden to give them the lead 2-1. Tampa Bay manufactures a run late. Ben Zobrist winds up singling home. Jennings, who had gotten on base, went to second on a pass ball, stole third, and then scored on a Zobrist infield dribbler down the third baseline to make it 2-2. Then Chris Archer came in for Tampa Bay, and, you know, I got to say, I haven't seen Archer. I watched a lot of this game yesterday. I haven't seen Archer pitch much, but in the 13th inning, bases loaded, nobody out. Tampa Bay does what Tampa Bay does. They bring five infielders in. They get a force at the plate, and then Archer strikes out back-to-back. Matt Wieters pinch hitting for Teagarden, and then McClouth, who had the game-winning hit the night before, to get out of it. But in the bottom of the 14th, the rookie Manny Machado, who's having a very good year at third base, singles to left to drive in the game-winning, game-ending run. Matt Joyce made a great try for it, left his feet, got his glove on the ball, but couldn't catch it. Baltimore 3, Tampa Bay 2. Baltimore sweeps Tampa Bay. Chen pitched very well for Baltimore, 7 1/3, 8 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Wolf gets the win in relief. He's 2-0. Hellickson also pitched well, 5 innings, but 93 pitches for Tampa Bay, 4 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Archer takes the loss. He's 0-3 on the year. And again, I thought Archer did a good job. Tampa Bay actually had a great opportunity, and this was partly Archer's fault. Man on first, one out. Archer goes up to bunt him over to second, tries 3 times even with 2 strikes, fails, strikes out, and then the next batter, and again, you never know what's going to happen, of course, but then the next batter, Molina, singles up the middle, arguably would have scored if Archer could have got the bunt down, the sacrifice bunt down, but didn't. Again, you never know what's going to happen after the fact. Rays don't score. Orioles eventually do. Orioles 81-62, still tied with the Yankees. Now 4 games ahead of the Rays. Very bad loss for the Rays. Again, the Rays simply can't score. They have excellent pitching, but they simply cannot put runs on the board. Orioles 3, Rays 2. We'll get to the standings in a little bit. Zobrist did have 3 hits, 3-for-6 for Tampa Bay. Kepinger and Roberts both had 2 hits for Tampa Bay. Davis, the right fielder, 3-for-4 for Baltimore. Eric Chavez, Andy Chavez came in 2-for-2. Baltimore is just, they have that ability to win. They think they're going to win in extra innings. They think they can't be beat once they take the lead late in the game. And that's been true virtually all year. Again, you got to give Buck Showalter, talk about changing the culture. Buck Showalter has done that. Orioles are for real. They have a good chance to beat the Yankees. The Yankees are now trying to keep pace, I think, with the Orioles and not vice versa. But the Yankees get a brilliant performance from up and down Phil Hughes up in Fenway. Yankees 2, Red Sox nothing. Hughes goes 7 and a third, 5 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He gets the win. He's 15 and 12. Dubron, pretty good lefty for the Red Sox, takes the loss. He's 10 and 9. Dubron, 6 and a third, 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. Soriano gets his 38th save of the year. Yankees 2, Red Sox nothing. Jeter and Andrew Jones with the RBIs for the Yankees. A-Rod with 2 hits for the Yankees, now hitting 276. Eduardo Nunez also 2 hits, playing shortstop for Jeter, who had hurt his ankle the day before. Nunez hitting 305. Jeter played, but as the DH, 1-for-5 with an RBI. He's still hitting 323. Unbelievable. Nobody could get 2 hits for Boston, as they got 6 hits for the whole game. But a big win with the Yankees. But again, and I'm a Yankee guy, but it looks like the Yankees are trying to keep pace with the Orioles and not vice versa. Yankees 2, Red Sox nothing. Phil Hughes with a brilliant performance, and that's exactly what the Yankees need right now. Out in the West, AL West, Angels playing Athletics. Angels have who I think is the Cy Young Award winner in the American League. Pitching for them, Jared Weaver, 7 innings, 2 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Weaver shuts out the Athletics, Angels 6. Athletics nothing. Weaver moves to 17-4 with a 2.74 ERA. Give him a lot of credit. Athletics had their 12-game road winning streak stopped. Anderson gets the loss, his first of the year. He's 4-1, 6 2/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, all earned. Angels 6, Athletics nothing. We'll get to the standings in a minute. Angels 78-66. With the win, Athletics dropped to 82-61, but they've been playing out of their minds. Mike Trout for the Angels, 1-for-3 with a run scored, hitting 331, leading the American League in hitting. Torii Hunter, 3-for-4, including his 15th homer of the year. He's hitting 309. He's having an unbelievable year, 2 RBIs and a run scored. They led the Angels offensively. For Oakland, only Jamal Weeks, second baseman, number 9 hitter, goes 2-for-3. Nobody else has more than 2 hits. The Oakland Athletics only get 4 hits. Again, it was the Jared Weaver show. Angels 6, Athletics nothing. The other big game, Tigers at the White Sox, was rained out. Verlander against Sale didn't happen. A few other games in the American League. Blue Jays beat the Mariners 8-3, which is only meaningful because they beat the King, Felix Hernandez, who drops to 13-8. Alvarez gets the win. He's 9-12. The Indians do shock the Rangers with 3 in the ninth. Indians 5, Rangers 4. Maine gets the win in relief. He's 1-0. Joe Nathan takes the loss. He's 2-4. Perez gets his 36th save of the year for the Indians, having an excellent year. Indians only with 60 wins. Home runs all for Cleveland. Laporta hits his first. Kipnis hits his 14th. Carrera hits his second. Indians 5. Rangers 4. One other game. Twins beat the Royals in the American League. Twins beat the Royals 4-3. Willingham hits his 34th for Minnesota. What a season he had in a lost season for Minnesota. Plouffe hits his 21st for Minnesota. Perkins gets the win. He's 3-1. Bueno takes the loss. He's 1-1. That's all your American League scores. We do want to take a look quickly at the American League standings. And the Orioles and the Yankees still tied in first place, 81-62. Whoever's not in first has one of the wild card spots. Tampa Bay now 4 games out in the loss column in both the American League East and the wild card at 77-66. Toronto and Boston, again, have fallen out of it. White Sox and Detroit postponed last night. White Sox 76-66, a game in front of the Tigers. The problem now for the White Sox or the Tigers, whoever's not in first, the Tigers 5.5 games out of a wild card spot, so you have to wonder if they're going to be able to climb back in there. But they are one game out behind the White Sox in the Central. Kansas City, Cleveland, and Minnesota well out of it. Texas Rangers 85-58, best record in the American League. Oakland second 82-61, 3 games behind Texas, but they do have the wild card spot. Los Angeles, 2 chances, 7.5 behind Texas, unlikely. The Angels, though, 3.5 out of a wild card spot after beating Oakland yesterday. Obviously, they have a chance. Seattle, 69-75, really out of it on both counts. We'll get to the National League after the break. Want to stop here to do the Bears at the Packers. Now, the 49ers, to me, the strongest team in football. Beat Green Bay, I won't say easily, but certainly beat them. It wasn't really a close game, but Green Bay comes back. They beat the Bears 23-10. A tough day for the Bears, a tough day for Jay Cutler. You know, they played real well at times under Cutler last year, but Cutler yesterday, 7 sacks, 4 interceptions. You know, if you heard after the game, if you heard the interview that Green Bay almost spoofing Jay Cutler. I mean, 2 interceptions by Tremont Williams. Woodson with an interception. It was Woodson who said after the game, Jay Cutler is still the same. He's going to throw the ball to us. Cutler is always terrible in Green Bay for whatever reason. He did throw 4 picks. He was mad at his offensive line. He was under pressure all night. There were 7 sacks. To make things worse, Matt Forte hurt his ankle. So a tough game for Chicago, only 168 yards in total offense. Meanwhile, for Green Bay, Clay Matthews, 3 sacks. He now has 6 sacks in 2 games. The key play of the game, I thought, if you watch the game, up 3-0 late in the first half. Packers lined up for a field goal to go up 6-0, but instead the holder flips the ball to Tom Crabtree coming off the end for Green Bay. Fake field goal. Easy 27-yard touchdown, untouched. I thought that was the key. Then Green Bay gets a pick and another field goal, 13-0 by halftime. After another pick, Donald Driver catches a 26-yard pass. Mason Crosby kicks a 54-yard field goal for Green Bay, the longest ever by a Packer at Lambeau Field. What can you say? Green Bay 23, Chicago 10. And look, Green Bay has a good, Chicago has a good defense, but Green Bay did not light it up on the Bears either. They have to be a little concerned, but the 49ers are a great defense, and I think the Bears are a very good defense. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers, 23-32, 219 yards, 1 TD, 1 interception. Benson better this week, 20 rushes for 81 yards. Jordy Nelson, 6 receptions for 84 yards for Green Bay. Cutler only 11-27 for 126 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 picks. Forte, 7-31 before he left with his injury. Michael Bush, 14 rushes for 54 yards. Forte out of the backfield, 4 receptions for 49 yards, but nobody else had more than 2 receptions. So the Bears in a little trouble. The Packers, I think they had 2 incredibly tough games. They come out of it 1-1. They went into halftime with a 13-0 lead. They won the game 23-10. Never really in doubt. But I think it says more about the Bears than the Packers. The Bears are going to have to shore up their offensive line. Cutler sometimes does hold the ball too much, but he was under pressure all night. The Bears had no yardage in the first quarter. And obviously that has to change. Green Bay defense is a little better this year than last year. Last year they were not very good. Clay Matthews playing like a man possessed through 2 games, again with 6 sacks, 3 in each game. Give him a lot of credit and give the Green Bay defense a lot of credit. So Green Bay moves to 1-1. Chicago drops to 1-1. Green Bay 23, Chicago 10. And again, I think Green Bay is a power in the NFC, obviously. The Bears have a chance to be a playoff team, but we're going to have to see. They think Forte has a high ankle sprain. He hadn't been evaluated as of this morning, but certainly if you saw the replay, a guy rolled up on his ankle, and you know, that's always a troublesome injury. Forte tried to come back in the game, really couldn't cut on that ankle. So we'll have to see how he is. If the Bears lose him like they did last year, it'll be very difficult for the Bears to be a playoff team, in my opinion, without Matt Forte. Green Bay Packers 23, Chicago Bears 10. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion. Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the National League and the standings in a couple minutes, but first a few miscellaneous things. The big news in college basketball, you've probably heard by now, Jim Calhoun, the UConn coach for 26 seasons, has decided to retire. A lot of people thought Calhoun should have retired after he had that great run in 2011 when they won their third NCAA championship. He decided not to, came back last year, was suspended three games early, did not have a good year, had some health issues. Apparently recently he broke his hip as he fell off his bicycle during a bike ride for the second time he had a serious injury falling off a bike. He's 70 years old. He did say that he wanted to kind of do it like Dean Smith. As a result of that, Kevin Ollie, who had played for him for many years ago and played 13 years in the NBA, is now the new head coach of Connecticut. Give Calhoun a lot of credit on the basketball side, 873 wins, sixth all-time in Division I. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame, 49 NCAA tournament wins, fourth all-time, three national titles, tied for fourth all-time. Of course, the tourney wins are skewed nowadays because back in the old days, in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, there were 8 teams or 16 teams or 24 teams in there. You can win a lot more games now. But there's no doubt that Calhoun was an excellent recruiter and an excellent coach. But he has decided to retire. Kind of a cloud over UConn's program the last couple of years. We'll have to see if Kevin Ollie can keep it going. Hard to replace a legend, and certainly that's what Jim Calhoun is. Jim Calhoun retires after 40 years as a college coach, 26 at UConn, 14, you'll recall, at Northeastern before that. So he was obviously always a New England guy, 40 years as a college coach, 873 wins, amazing stats, 3 national titles, including that great run with Kemba Walker a couple of years ago when they were 9-9 in the Big East, then won 5 games in 5 days at the Big East tournament, and then, of course, won the 6 in a row you have to win nowadays to win the NCAA championship. A few other things going on. College football yesterday, Rutgers beats South Florida 23-13 in a Big East game. South Florida may not want to schedule Thursday night games anymore. They're 0-8 on Thursday nights. A couple of big, the main two college games, I think, this weekend. And again, the problem, as we've discussed, is your top 10 teams rarely play games that are going to be close games. But this week, the two interesting games, I think, are number 2 USC at number 21 Stanford. USC, Matt Barkley, although he's a Heisman candidate, he's never beaten Stanford. USC favored, even though they're on the road by 9, USC should beat Stanford, and I think we'll try and rub it in. The other interesting game, Notre Dame, number 20, travels to Michigan State to play number 10 Michigan State. I like Michigan State in that game. I just think Notre Dame's a little overrated, not even sure what they're going to do quarterback-wise, but I do like Michigan State in that game as well. A few other things going on in the NFL. Kevin Cobb apparently is going to start for Arizona against the Patriots. Skelton has that ankle injury. Doesn't look like he'll be able to go. Doesn't really matter. You know, you're going to New England to play the Patriots. The big question in New York is, will Darrell Revis play against the Steelers this week? The answer right now is maybe. Mild concussion. I think nowadays you have to be more, or everyone is more in tune to what's happening with concussions. Revis was quoted yesterday as saying it's kind of foggy at times, and if it's kind of foggy on Thursday, it's kind of hard to believe you're going to play on Sunday. The Jets are in for it on Sunday anyway as they go on the road. They looked impressive against Buffalo. I think that was as much Buffalo isn't what we thought they were as it is the Jets are good offensively, but we'll have to wait and see. You have to like the Steelers in that game Sunday. Off the field in the NFL, Jonathan Vilma is going to meet with the commissioner on Monday in New York. Vilma, you'll recall, had his suspension overturned, in essence, by an appeals court. But according to the commissioner, the panel still gave him the right. He's in charge of discipline in the NFL. So you have to think that he's going to go out of his way to try and suspend Vilma and these other guys at least a few games. But Vilma is meeting with the commissioner, Roger Goodell, on Monday. The other three guys are meeting with him on Tuesday. And you can expect, I would think, a swift result one way or the other. Again, I think he's going to try and suspend these guys a little bit, if for no other reason than to save face. We'll have to wait and see whether that happens or not. But those are the meetings that are scheduled right now. Jonathan Vilma on Monday, and then the other three guys on Tuesday. I'm trying to give you one football game every week that I like against the spread. Last week it was the Patriots. They covered. This week I like the Raiders on the road in Miami. Raiders favored by 2.5 over the Dolphins. Dolphins didn't show you much. Their offense only scored 3 points. Tannehill threw 3 picks in 6 minutes. The Raiders, I think, would have beaten the Chargers, but they lost their long snapper. And again, if you don't understand the importance of the long snapper, just watch some highlights of the Raider-Charger game. The Raiders lost that game because their long snapper, John Kondo, got hurt. Now, if Kondo comes back, if he could have played the whole game, I think the Raiders would have beat the Chargers. If he comes back, they'll be fine. They've also signed another long snapper, Nick Guess. So I think they'll be fine from a long snapper perspective. And even though they're coming across the country and generally speaking aren't often good coming across the country, it's their first time coming across the country. They have to do it 4 other times. By the 4th or 5th time, maybe they'll be sick of it. The Raiders apparently are traveling more than any other team in the National Football League in terms of air miles. But I like the Raiders 2.5 over the Dolphins playing in Miami on Sunday. One quick note about the National Hockey League. Very sad to see this, but it looks like it's going to happen. The NHL wants some more give back from the players now. Maybe I shouldn't say give back right now. 57% of the income from the NHL goes to the players. It's divided 57-43. Commissioner Gary Bettman doesn't think that's going to work for the owners. Right now they're far apart. Sidney Crosby himself came out and said, doesn't look like we're going to start the season on time. If there's no agreement by tomorrow night, Saturday night, there will be a lockout at midnight. And right now it looks like there's going to be a lockout. Apparently the two sides are far apart in terms of how they want to split up that money. Quickly now to the National League yesterday. Only two games in the National League, but both important games. The Cardinals in Los Angeles to play the Dodgers. Dodgers get one in the first, but the Cardinals come back to beat them 2-1. Alan Craig with a big RBI for the Cardinals. Adrian Gonzalez drove in the only run for the Dodgers. Lynn gets the win. He's been great for the Cardinals. He's 15-7. Rodriguez takes the loss. He's 0-1. Mott gets his 34th save of the year. Cardinals clinging to those playoff hopes, as are the Dodgers. Cardinals 2, Dodgers 1. Dodgers 6-12 since that trade for Gonzalez and the other guys. Surprising to me, but that's their record, and you are what your record says you are, in the words of Bill Parcells. One other game, the Astros slow down the Philly machine. Phillies actually go up 4-0 on the lowly Astros. Give the Astros credit. Only 46 wins, but they stick around. They come back. They get 3 in the fourth. They get 3 in the eighth. They beat the Phillies. Phillies back to 500. Astros 6. Phillies 4. Wright gets the win. He's 1-2. Almonte gets his first loss. He's 0-1. Lopez with his fifth save. Matt Dominguez with a big home run for Houston, his fourth of the year. Astros 6, Phillies 4. We'll take a quick look at the National League standings. Washington, the Steven Strasburg-less Washington Nationals, best record in baseball, 89-54, have a commanding 8.5 game lead over Atlanta with 19 games to go for Washington, 18 games to go for Atlanta. Hard to believe Atlanta can catch them. Washington's pitching is just too good, even without Steven Strasburg. But Atlanta does have one of the two wild card spots. In fact, they have a commanding 5-game lead over St. Louis, who has the second wild card spot. So right now, it looks like Atlanta's locked into a wild card spot. Philly now drops to 500. That was a big loss, I thought, for them yesterday. They're now 4 out. They have 18 games to play, 4 out of a wild card. They have no chance in the AL East. The Mets in Miami, well out of it. In the Central, Cincinnati locked into a playoff spot, a division-winning spot, 87-57. They're 11 games ahead of St. Louis, but again, St. Louis at 76-68. Right now has the second playoff spot. That was a big win over the Dodgers yesterday. Pittsburgh 72-73 out of a wild card. Milwaukee 72-71, 3.5 out of a wild card. Neither can win the Central. And the Cubs and Houston well out of it in the Central and in the wild card. Out west, San Francisco, give them credit, 81-62. They have a commanding 7.5 game lead over the Dodgers with 19 games left for San Francisco and 18 games left for the Dodgers. The Dodgers, with that loss yesterday, 2 out of a wild card spot, and again, they're playing the Cardinals, who have the second wild card spot. Arizona, they're a game under 500 like the Phillies. They have no chance in the West, but they're 4.5 out of a wild card spot. They have a chance, but they're going to have to really, you know, pick it up the last 19 games. San Diego out of it. Well, San Diego 69-75. 7 out of a wild card spot. I don't think they can get there. Colorado 57-85, long out of it on both counts. Your national TV tonight, Major League Baseball, Pittsburgh at the Chicago Cubs. That's WGN, the nationwide Chicago station. That's at 2:10 Eastern. Tonight, depending on where you are, Tampa Bay at the Yankees, 7 o'clock Eastern, or the Nationals at Atlanta, both on the MLB Network. That Atlanta game starts 7:30 Eastern. The Tampa Bay-Yankee game starts at 7. That's Price against Sabathia, another fantastic matchup. Tampa Bay at the Yankees. That's your baseball on national TV. College football, there is one game tonight. That's Washington State at UNLV. That's on ESPN at 9 o'clock. But again, this time of year, early on for college football, very few important games. Major League Baseball takes center stage. Tampa Bay at the Yankees, a big game. Washington and Atlanta, a big game for Atlanta in terms of playoff implications. That was MLB Network tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, then 7:30 Eastern. Pittsburgh at the Cubs, of course. The Pirates need to win to keep their playoff hopes alive. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.